Good morning.
Good morning.
Please pray. Oh, thank you. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. So, for many of us, we have heard this story before. Actually, it happens every year that we hear this story. Transfiguration Sunday. It is in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels. And it is a turning point for us and for Jesus. It's actually what we call Bridge Sunday, so it moves us from the season of Epiphany into the season of Lent. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to a high mountain. They go to the top of the mountain. How many here enjoy hiking? Anybody here enjoy hiking? Oh, thank you. I'm getting scared here because I'm not seeing any hands. So, all right. Thank you. Yeah, Carl and I love to hike. We have not been hiking, 5 years now, Carl? Yeah, since we started worship. Not that one has anything to do with the other. Okay, it just happens to be. But we love to go hiking. We'll go to the Smokies and stay sometimes in Gatlinburg, and we love to hike. And then one year we went out to the Rockies, and we hiked the Rockies, and that was our first experience hiking something like that big. But when you get to the top of the mountain, you see this vast expanse in front of you. And for those of you who have done it, it's an amazing, amazing view. It's an amazing experience. You know, you get to see the layout of the land that's all around you. You understand from that vantage point the bigger picture of what everything looks like. You realize at that point, kind of like standing in front of an ocean, that life is bigger than you. You stand in awe of the beauty that's before you, God's country, God's world. You feel the presence and experience the divine. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to sing, but my heart, the very first time we did this, and I remember telling Carl this, my heart began to sing these words, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. You know this hymn. And then when we get to, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. And I couldn't shake this. Not that I wanted to, but it just over and over and over and over and over again. Actually, when we were in Gatlinburg, we were, window shopping, and there are the words carved into this big wooden block. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. On that mountaintop, Peter, James, and John, they experienced something greater than themselves. Jesus transfigured right before them. Jesus, his divinity, fully revealed, radiant light coming from inside out. His face was so bright, it shone like the sun. His clothing turned dazzling white. That's not an exterior in, it's radiation. It's coming from inside and going out. So if there's any question as to who Jesus was, God incarnate, the question was answered by this very experience. And Peter, I can so identify with Peter, in all Peter's foibles, but Peter says he wants to preserve the moment. Of course, it makes perfect sense because he wants to create a place where the two prophets, Moses and Elijah, along with Jesus, could stay and dwell. You see, that's what was done in the wilderness during the time of the Exodus and leaving Egypt. God went before them, and when they settled, the first thing they did was create the tent, the dwelling place where God would be. So it makes perfect sense. In fact, I wanted to stay on that mountain. I didn't want to move. How many people buy homes at the tops of mountains? They have dwellings there. Because I wanted to continue to experience the glory, the majesty, the goodness, the greatness of God that I felt at that very moment. I wanted to stay there and to continue to take in all that my eyes were experiencing. And the rest of my senses were feeling. As I breathed in, I felt the coolness of the air. I felt the breeze lightly touch my skin. I heard the sound of nothing. You heard the sound of sheer silence. You've experienced mountaintop times in your life, something that's unique to you. It may not have been physically at the top of a mountain, but it might have been somewhere else where the presence of God was so great in you that it was tangible. That time when you realize that life is bigger than you, that there is indeed a creator, that place where the divine meets the world, and it's so clear you can taste it, you can touch it, you can smell it, you can see it. You experience it with every core of your body, that place where God is revealed to you. Peter's intentions of wanting to stay is interrupted by God. He isn't probably even done speaking, and we hear God speaking through a cloud. Just like God spoke to God's people before Jesus, before God incarnate, God would always take on nature when God spoke to God's people. And so through the cloud we hear, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And when was the last time we heard that? The beginning of this season of Epiphany, at Jesus' baptism. But God doesn't stop there. God goes on. Listen to him. Now, at the sound of God's voice, these three men, Peter, James, and John, fall down to the ground, as I would imagine we would do the same. And they fall down. It says they're terrified. They're not terrified that God is going to come and destroy them. They're terrified and overwhelmed at the sheer majesty of God, the awesome presence. And then Jesus comes over to them, touches them, and says, "Get up and do not be afraid." Jesus, God incarnate that they just saw, touches them and says, "Get up and do not be afraid. Get up, stand up, rise up. There is nothing to fear." Like Peter, James, and John, you and I are called to come down the mountain. We're called to come back into this world. But we don't come leaving the experience up there, because that experience comes with us. It's a part of us, and I dare say it is us. Jesus tells Peter, James, and John not to tell anyone about what they just saw until after he is raised from the dead. See, they have no idea what is about to happen, but we know what is about to happen because we've seen the end. We understand this experience in light of the cross and in light of the resurrection. We are not restricted. We're not told to wait. As a matter of fact, we're told to tell, because the ending has already happened. We know the story that they are about to live. We get to share it. We know that Jesus touches us and says to us each and every single day, "Get up and do not be afraid," because death is not the end of the story. From death comes life, new life. And that new life is our story today. We begin our new life. we are transitioning into a new season from Epiphany to the season of Lent, from Jesus made known to Jesus walking with his face towards Jerusalem, towards the cross. Coming off the mountain for Jesus means that he is walking to his death, a walk in which the ugliness of this world seems to prevail, but it doesn't win. Because for God, in Jesus, death leads to life. In my short time as a pastor, I have watched many people pass from this world to the next. I have watched them pass from death to life, including my own mother. And what I can tell you is that as people who don't have the eyes to see, as we do, watch a person, they see death. But I'll tell you what I saw and what I experienced every single time. I experience this illumination that starts to come through the person. You see, as they near their death here on earth, they are coming that much closer to their new life in Christ. And I watch it every single day. The skin becomes pure and it radiates. It is perhaps the most beautiful thing I have ever seen. And I point that out, especially to the family, each and every single time. Because that's how beautiful it is. In the midst of our tears and our crying, as Christians, we know this is not the end. It is the beginning of a new life, the continuation in a new and different way. And as the skin begins to illuminate, I know that Christ is present in and through that person more and more and more, to the point where they take their last breath. Life, new life, seen in death, a transfiguration that takes place. Each and every one of us will experience that. So on that day, on that mountaintop, the day of the actual transfiguration, when the disciples had no idea what was about to happen, Jesus touched them and said, "Get up and do not be afraid." And guess what? They did. They listened, just as God had told them to do. On this day, 1,987 years, give or take, later, years later, we remember and celebrate the transfiguration of Jesus on this day, when we know what they had no idea, when we know about Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus touches us on this very day and says to us, too, get up and do not be afraid. And just like those disciples, we get up, and we too will not be afraid. Amen.